We got action. We got action. We got action. We got action. We got woo. We got action. We got action. We got woo. We got action. Now, we got action. We got woo.
You are now tuned in to Intellectually Petty Radio. Hey, yo, Josh. We got action, homie.
And you are now tuned into another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio, brought to you by M3S3 Clothing. Men make moves and suckers stand still. And as always, on the mighty, mighty, mighty Nerve DJs Radio Network. Man, y'all already know it's redundancy at its finest. I only rock with legends around here. And today is abso-fucking-lutely no exception. We got stylist, creative designer, creative director, overall dope ass human being. We got Marv Neal in the building. How you doing, King? Oh, damn. You are on mute.
Thank you. My bad. I'm sorry.
All right, you good.
Thanks for having me, man. Thanks for having me on.
Yo, man, you's a lot of motherfuckers that fuck with you out there, bro.
Oh, man, I appreciate it.
What you do? What, matter of fact, I ask everybody this, man. How's your life? How's your family?
Family's good, life's good, you know, everything. We always pray for better, right?
Yeah, you know what? I just pray to wake up, bro.
That too.
The rest.
That too. That too.
What kind of glasses are those?
Lueve.
Oh, I can't afford that. That just sound like out of my tax bracket.
Yeah, Lueve.
Yo, stylist. How does one become a stylist?
Well, I mean, you know, I had a love for fashion like anybody else. Menswear, streetwear coming up in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, you know, the golden era. And I started out in retail like most people. And I knew that I wanted to do TV, radio, and film and models. So I just kind of struck out on my own professionally in like 2000 and I'll say 9, 10, but I was doing it way before then. I just wasn't confident in saying that I was a stylist, I'll say, so to speak. But it's just really about trading for print and building a portfolio and getting people to know who you are and, you know, that type of thing. So that's how you really become a stylist. But I say if you can, try to start out in retail. Some people do, some people don't. But that's always a way to show you how to have a quick eye and, just assess the situation. And then that way you'll know, being around the element of clothes, you'll know how to sell, how to upsell. Dressing the mannequins is a thing. So just trying to, anything that's around that circle of the influence that you're around, that's really how you become a stylist.
Where you from, bro?
Born and raised on the North End.
What is that?
That's basically Midtown, Mid-City, New Center area. So it's between Woodward, the Grand Boulevard, some say down to 94, depending on, you know, who it is. But really, from my neighborhood, is Woodward to the Boulevard, over to 75, down to Tennyson.
Okay. Give me... I want two classic Detroit outfits, gym shoes, and then hard bottoms.
I mean, you know, now you know this. So gym shoes, you got to go with the Adidas Forums or Top Tens.
Staples.
That's a staple. Everybody should have a pair in their closet. Depending on the age, but I think it's respected, you have to have a pair of Mari Gators or some type of Gator hard bottom.
I've never had a pair of Gators.
Yeah, go get you some.
I've been thinking about it, man, but I'm thinking about buying a new car.
Well, get your car. The Gators will be there.
Yeah.
The Gators will be there.
Okay, who is like the person that you've been a stylist for that you just felt more in tune with?
The person that I was most in tune with? It's usually the people that are from Detroit because they kind of get it.
Yeah.
I'll say like the like Corona, rapper Corona, because she's like my sister. Mm-hmm. Actually, she's now she's my god sister because we've been friends for like 20 years. So her mama literally calls my phone and I'm her godson. But she gets it because she's a rapper and she's a superstar. And she's from here and she loves streetwear, gym shoes and sneakers. And so she gets it. I'm most comfortable around her because it's like more like family. Mm-hmm. But I've never had an issue out of all my years working with anyone. I kind of go in with respect. I'm real personable and silly anyway. So people usually like to, you know what I mean, like to be around me.
Okay, I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
So you style movies as well, or is that?
Yes.
What is that? Is that call it stylist in a movie?
Well, they call it a stylist. Like, you may be a stylist on set, or you might be a costume designer. So I've been costume designer, I've been stylist, I've been dresser. It's really nothing in the booking of that falls up under retail or fashion stylings that I haven't done.
Okay. Is it difficult for movies more so than like a person?
No, movies is just, it's usually 14 days to a month of your time blocked out. And it's every day. With a movie, you may have to, it's about continuity. So with SAG actors, you have to have two outfits for each look. So
really,
if you were in this movie and it's a SAG movie, or you're in LA or in Atlanta and it's a SAG movie, I would have to buy or order or get made two of these hoodies.
Okay.
So if you shoot today in this hoodie, black jogging pants and whatever kind of shoes, tomorrow you have to have the same thing on if they shoot the same scene, and you can't wear the same thing. So if you only have one, I have to take it home and wash it out and bring it back like dry clean the next day.
Yo, that's gotta suck. Although that's like you know, that's an ongoing joke with Tubi.
Yeah.
Is that niggas will wear anything in the same scene two times in a row.
That's because they don't have, you know, I can't complain because my first movie was a Tubi movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Dimes with Darren Brown.
Yo, that movie was fire, by the way. I seen that movie.
Thank you. So
I had him on the show.
Okay, dope. So I did the wardrobe for the men and women in that movie and the side actors. Everybody, it was probably 14 days, and it was just me telling them what to wear, what the scene was going on. I had assistance too by a lady named Shakara.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it was an amazing time. It was an eye opener because I didn't know how it went. So even though I had an assistant, she was helping me and I was helping her. And it was, I mean, you know, it's just work because it's a lot of sit around in downtime, and it's a lot of, it's really that, a lot of sit around in downtime. And there was maybe one day it might've been just really like, it might've been 6 hours on one look.
So what do? They give you like how, I'm trying to figure like how much time do you get before, okay, they send you the script, you go over the script because you mm-hmm. need to kind of get a feel of what you thinking that people should wear.
Yeah. With a Tubi movie or a Detroit movie, you ain't gonna have no time. So they might be like you know how your cousins do. So it might be like I'll give you a prime example. So I did a movie with Kasim. Kasim is a big director from here, but he lived in LA.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a movie that will be coming out called To Live, To Die and To Live. I shot it 2 years ago, and Tanja the Shoe Lady, which is a shoe guru here from the city at different boutiques, they call her to be the stylist. She's not a stylist, so she called me, like, bro, I need you to be the stylist. They want me as the lead. Do you mind being my assistant? But it's really going to be on you because I'm not a stylist, but they don't, you know what I mean? And I was like, well, we could just do it like that. As long as they pay me, it don't mind. You know, I'm just going to make it look good for you. So I went in. Literally, she called me Friday. They gave her the script Sunday. Monday, we started shooting without no clothes.
Are you?
So it's literally me with the uncle from Snowfall. I can't think of his real name. Uncle Jerome. But Eamon. I can't think of his last name. But it was literally me going through my closet to see what he could fit. Costume bringing clothes that he went and grabbed that morning from like H&M. Tanja bringing stuff from H&M, and I bring in all these shoes that I got because he wore the same shoes that I wore. And we were trying to figure out what was going to be his first look, because this look was going to be the look that he was in the most. So it was like, that was a big eye-opener for me with that. But that's usually how it goes. You rarely have time as a costume, unless it's something that's like a Wakanda, of course, where the budget is extreme. And,
yeah. And you got, you know, months, I mean, in advance.
So many,
yeah,
months in the pre-production. But, you know, I haven't got to that point yet. But even when I did BMF, it was the same. They were all the way prepared. I came in on that as just an assistant wardrobe stylist.
Yo, you did BMF, though?
Yeah, I did the second season.
Oh, okay. Okay, so because this season has actually gotten good. I was critical the first season.
Okay.
And I'm still like, I'm sorry, but Murder Ave is just better than me.
Yeah, Murder Ave is great. Yeah. I like it.
But they've definitely gotten, they got more comfortable. The actors have gotten somewhat better. Mm-hmm. The co-stars, yeah. But, you know, I get it because they stars and shit. You know? So in the second season of BMF, like how much leeway do you get?
Well, I mean, I was working under someone. She had already did season one.
Okay.
Excuse me. And what happened with that was a young lady named, I will draw a blank line in the middle of telling this story. Well, a young lady is my friend. She was driving. She's a designer.
Mm-hmm.
She drives for Uber, and she was picking up some ladies downtown. The lady was the executive producer of Power. They were here for season two. Season one, they did a lot of stuff here. Mm-hmm. But season two, they really wanted to show more Detroit. So they hired a lot of hair, makeup, different people from here. So she picks up the executive producer. And the executive producer, you know, they exchange, you know, talking and saying, what do you do? What do you do? And she said, well, I have a friend. Excuse me, named Marv Neal. He's a dope stylist. He does men and women, and he loves that 80s era. He's old enough to remember when it was around.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, how can we, you know, get him on the shoot, or how can we get him to be a part? So she told her, well, you know, we have the young lady, which is the lead stylist. And, but if he wants to come on and assist, you know, he can do so. So a couple of days later, they looped me in the email, and then maybe about a week later, I was on set for 5 days.
Okay, you say here. Where you at now, bro?
I'm in Detroit.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I was thinking you was in Atlanta.
Oh, no. I'm in Detroit.
Oh. Favorite city outside of Detroit? Random shit.
I like Miami.
Oh, man, I ain't been to Miami since I was a fucking teenager.
Yeah, I love Miami. When I get rich, I'll have a house here and a house in Miami. It used to be New York, and I still love New York.
New York stinks.
But New York is all, I'm always busy when I'm in New York. I never got to really, like, sit with New York.
My homeboy is from New York, man, so I have to talk shit about New York every chance I get.
Yeah. I mean, it's just not, I feel like with the culture of what, or if you're trying to do what I do, that's, of course, the Mecca, but I used to want to live there, but not no more. So it would be
really, style-wise, is New York the Mecca?
I mean, yeah. I mean, first, if you want to work, you know what I mean? Because all of the... So Detroit doesn't have showrooms.
Okay.
We don't have... All we have is Somerset and in different, like, malls when we used to have malls. So now the malls are dying. Everything is online. And then some stuff is like mom and pop or boutique. So I've made my career off of, like, Somerset, designers here, and boutiques. We don't have showrooms, so I don't have the ability, like most people, to leave and go to a showroom where I could pick one of ones or, you know, custom stuff that maybe a showroom is housing for me to use for stuff. So I've made a career off of making boutique and just regular high-end designer stuff or editorials look like regular day-to-day, because we don't have showrooms.
Yeah, I feel you.
So that's what New York has that New York and LA has that other places don't have. So you have to, our showroom is just basically designer to stylist, where I'm telling you, can I pull this, write it up, or, you know, put money down to pull the whole or bring it back, you know, make sure that it's clean and give it back. So that's really what the difference between Detroit and here, per se.
So wait a minute, you use clothes and take them back?
Well, yeah, when you with a designer, you know, so if you were a designer and you had, let's say if you had me in suits, I might not necessarily buy the suit for the person. I might just need it for a photo shoot. So it might be an hour. So you're going to try it on, basically put it on, and then I'm going to take it to get it clean and bring it back the next day.
Okay.
That way you get to make your money off of it if somebody want to buy it.
I wonder, does the person buying it know, though?
Well, do you know that you tried on the jeans that somebody had on out at the mall?
Well, you got a good point there.
Same thing.
But I'm assuming that they didn't take them home and try them on.
Well, I mean, well, usually you're dealing with someone professional. So it's really like it ain't no smells and it ain't no nothing on it. So you would never know.
Have you ever had a client that stunk?
No, not yet. No. Only thing I've ever had was I've had to ask a woman to shave before. Her mentionables and her underarms. And I was in Atlanta. And she was actually a new rising model. She was signed to like a big agency. But
and
she was young.
You had to ask her?
I had to tell her, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's...
Yeah, as a stylist, you do way more than... It's way more than the fashion part. It's easy. You're dealing with a million personalities, insecurities. If you and your girlfriend got into it or you and your boyfriend got into it, I got to deal with that. It's like a babysitting job almost. You know, it's way more than what people think it is.
Yeah, I didn't think it was like I don't want to have to deal with people's emotions and shit. I thought you just bought clothes and said, here, put them on.
No, it's way more than that. That you have to think of just like this. Just say per se, I'll give you an example. I was styling Joint Bell for about a year or two of the Detroit Lions. I had to know everything about this man. So for a man that's a man to have to know your draw size, your every size, your everything, what fits you or not, that's personal, you know.
Wait a minute, so this nigga had you buying his draws?
I had to. That was part of my job. Oh, fashion man. Styling is a white glove job. So if I'm personal shopping for you, if you had a bunch of money or had an event to go to and you didn't have no draws, then what was I supposed to do? Ain't no ego for me. So it should be no ego for you, right? We both men.
Well, no, man. Like, if I can't stop at the store and buy some draws, man, I'm never going to get that big.
Let's say you're a millionaire. You don't have time to go do that, right?
No, I don't see it that way.
No, but you thinking from your perspective. Think of you being a millionaire. You the main football player, nigga, on the football team. Do you got time to go get your draws? Where you going to go get them from?
Walmart.
But you at practice every day, all day. So where you going to go get your everything from?
I work 12 hours a day. Nah. Like
you said. You don't get it, but I'm just telling you, this is a part of the job.
I'm just shocked that
no, you shouldn't be. We have, in our kit, we have everything.
Oh, wow.
Drawers, socks, panties, drawers, everything. Underwear, deodorant, flat irons. We are the middlemen.
So you buy feminine products too? I'm just curious.
I've had to, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I keep pads in my kit.
You serious?
Because you use them for two different things. When you buy, just say if I got a a $6,000 Oscar de la Renta gown. She has deodorant on. I put the pad under the arm inside of the garment. And that way it don't get no deodorant on the inside.
Yo.
So that's one way. And then the second thing is, if you want your period, you can't stop that. So you might not be a heavy flow person. So I have to give you a pad if you don't have none. If not, then I got to stop, get in my car, drive to go get it. Or hair and makeup, somebody got to drive to go get it.
I never considered that shit, bro.
Yeah, you have to. We are the middleman. We are the big shoots and the big ads you see in magazines. And it look like, oh, that's just a picture. It's a million other things going on behind the scenes.
What's too much for you? What you like, nah, I'm not fucking with you no more.
I haven't had nothing that has been too much. Like, I've done just about everything. Men, women, nude, not nude. I was a lifeguard for 20 years, so seeing a guy or a girl nude don't do shit for me. I mean, you know, I ain't overzealous like some men would be about a naked woman. And then, you know, a naked dude don't do shit for me, so it's kind of like, it's just work to me. Somebody else might look at it differently, but it's just work.
How do you see, like, it's got to be some women you come across that was like, okay, this is my type, but I got to
keep. I mean, that's always, but you got to be professional.
Do you ever shoot your shot?
I have, but more on I'll wait until, you know, to see how it's going to be, that kind of thing.
Okay, I feel you.
You know, like,
let's see if the chemistry is there first.
Well, yeah, that too. But then, you know, Detroit is a big city, but it's a small city.
Yeah.
So it's not, when I started, it wasn't a lot of men of color doing what I was doing to the capacity that I was doing.
Yeah.
So I went to set for a lot of maybe the first 5 years, and I didn't say anything. Whatever the photographer wanted me to do, or whatever I knew what the looks was, I was just real, you know, working horse. So again, you have to think. By the time I started for real styling, I had already had 11 years on my job, seeing naked women every day. So, you know, I ain't hard up and pressed, you know what I mean, like to see a woman naked. So it's kind of a thing you get used to. It's just like no different than working at a titty bar or a male, you know what I mean, as a bouncer, because I've done security too. So it's just kind of like you just kind of get used to it. But if you find the one you like you said, you shoot your shot and see what's up.
You got a favorite designer?
Yeah, but it's kind of hard. It just depends on, is it menswear or womenswear? Is it for me?
For you.
For me? I'm always going to like Ralph Lauren.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Ralph
Lauren. It's always classic.
Always classic. I was literally telling myself that today because I'm thinking about going to Atlanta this weekend. And I was trying to put some clothes together. And I'm like, well, you know, I got the black polo. That never goes out of style.
It never goes out of style. Never.
The hoodie you got on now, where you get that from?
It's a gentleman named Jay Cotton, Justin Cotton. It's called A Different Cloth, cut from a different cloth. He's Detroit, born and raised. Excuse me, a chef as well. He has a cut from a different cloth. It's on Instagram at different cloth, a different cloth. And it's just basically, it has a mission statement on there. Inspired by, what did it say?
Greatness created for the hustlers and entrepreneurs.
Yep.
Yeah, I like, you know, make sure my man get his credit, because that's a dope-ass hoodie.
Oh, yeah. He, I talked to him earlier, so he didn't know I was wearing it, but, you know.
That's fucking fire.
I have to represent. It's my best friend, too. One of my
is
male
there
best
a boutique? Friend. You get a movie, like you was explaining earlier. You got a movie, and you get the assignment Sunday, and you need clothes Monday morning. Is there a boutique you can call and be like, okay, I know it's midnight on a Sunday, but I need you.
Yeah, I got about like 8 boutiques that I could do that at.
Where can I? Who can you call? Let me know.
I could call Spoil Forever, which is in Southfield.
Mm-hmm.
I could call Official P Jazz on the East Side. I'm trying to think of who else. I could call mature look. They have men's clothes. I could call mature look, official PJs, for forever. I'm trying to think of maybe one or two more. Another men's store I could call, K Walker Wear. That's four. I could call a guy named Miguel. He has men's suits. I can call Swank, Ebony Swank, and could get some stuff. I could call the Shoe Lady. She has a boutique with shoes and clothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's about five.
Yo, your man's with the suits, man. Inbox me that. I need a new suit, man. I got five.
Okay. Which one? I could call my guy at the Suit Depot. So I got a tight Rolodex I could call that'll look out for me.
Yeah, you know, I got fat, man, so I need...
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with it. Food good here in Detroit. Love food. I lost 40 pounds. I done gained about 20 of them back eating.
Yo, what's the city looking like now? Because I know the draft has got it, shit crazy.
You're not here? You're not in the city?
No, not today. I live in Cleveland now. I'm from Detroit.
It's real crowded. Expected to be 400,000 people here. I went down there earlier, and it was really crowded. It was blocked off. And literally, as soon as I get off with you, I'm going down there. I'm right sending my work van out.
Yo, man, I got tickets, but like I say, you know, somebody invited me to come down to Atlanta, so I think I may do that tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yo. Okay, so for the 80s wear. Sheepskin or Max Julia?
I'm a sheepskin guy.
Forums or Concords?
Forums.
I'm trying to think of hats, man, outside of the Dobbs. Oh, campaign hats or Dobbs?
I'm a campaign hat guy.
Yo, campaign hats never go out of style, bro.
No, they don't.
Yo,
I got to get one to go with my Gucci gym shoes for this summer.
Yo, Gucci's making some trash shit lately.
I only got the old 84, so I don't know.
Are those the one that Sean Carter stole?
Yeah, the 84s, yeah.
Oh, my God, I had a pair.
Two pair that are still brand new when they did the re-release.
Really? When did they do the re-release?
Like 2012, and they had them until maybe like 2015. But I have so many shoes that I never get a chance to wear them, so they are basically still brand new. They look just like it's 1988.
Yo, man, I had a pair in fucking high school, man. What high school did you go to?
Northern.
Yeah, I went to Ford.
Oh, you went to Ford, Westsider.
Oh, of course, man, all day. Okay. And it was me and my boy, man. We were it might have been three of us at Ford that had the Gucci's.
Uh-huh.
Kept the motherfuckers so long. I kept them so long, and then we spray painted them. Different colors. Shit came out fire, too.
Well, what year you come out?
I came out in 89.
Oh, you came out. You was right in the golden era, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. 89, I was in the third grade.
Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. I didn't realize I was that old.
Yeah. But, I mean, shit, I'm 44 now, so, you know. When you was younger, it kind of be like, whoa, because I had cousins that graduated your year. But now we all in our 40s, so.
Yeah, it's like, you know, now we all at the bar sipping.
Uh-huh.
There ain't no difference, you know. Right. Back then, that shit was night and fucking day.
Oh, yeah, I was like a kid, but I was always like a grown kid.
Oh,
like, I was always the one that was the cool little cousin, you know what I mean?
What year did you hit your stride?
So I hate to, like, I ain't on no Kanye West shit, but I always been the fly kid. My mother and my father are young, so my mother is only probably 6 years older than you. My mother and father had me at 14.
Oh, damn.
So the stuff by 89, my mother may have been maybe 25.
Oh, yeah, she was
26.
Best life like that.
Maybe 25. She graduated in 84. Her and my father.
Oh, shit. She wasn't even 25 then.
Yeah, that's what I said. She might have been. Yeah, so she was. Yeah, she had me young. She had me at 14. So Gucci gym shoes and Coach bags, and I literally grew up with them. So all of the fashion stuff with my mother's side was always prevalent.
Do you agree with the fashion trends of the day, or is it some cringe shit where you just feel like I gotta do it, but I really don't want to do it?
I feel like it's cringy, but I let them live because to our parents and to the people ahead of them, they felt like it was cringy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My grandmother and them didn't like that my mother and them wore blue jeans and shit. You know what I mean? And yeah, my mother and them didn't like that my jabos was a little baggy. You know what I mean? So every generation has their thing. Some shit I'm just not going to wear, and some shit I'm just not even going to put my client in. You know what I mean? But if you are trying to be trendy, I'm really not the one that you want to hire, because I'm always going to push for clean, and I'm always going to push for pushing the envelope.
Okay.
Which doesn't mean being trendy. You know?
Yeah.
So,
we wore parachute pants.
Yeah.
So it ain't, you know, like, it was some shit, man. I look back. It was a couple things, like a couple fashion stuff.
Y'all caught the parachute pants, the Hammer time, the Kwame time, the Kid and Play time.
The Kwame time was ugly, bro.
Yeah.
The polka dots.
Yeah.
The asymmetrical fades.
That was fire to me because I was like in elementary going into middle. So it was kind of like right on time. You know what I mean? Right on time for me.
Oh, but when you look back at the pictures, nigga, that the Jerry curl was the wildest shit. Like I avoided the Jerry curl, and I told my cousins. Shout out to my brother Bryson. I told that nigga, don't get no Jerry curl. He did it anyway. Yeah. It did not stand the test of time.
I went from an afro to always a covadas, a one line all over to a hot top fade. Then ball fades.
Ball fades.
And then like 12th grade, it was the taper, 360 taper. And then that was all the way until 2010 when I cut my hair bald.
Yeah, I didn't really, you know, my hair cut itself bald. It's like, that motherfucking noise. What's the best, you know how history repeats itself. What's the fashion that has come back that you appreciate the most?
For men or women, or like what?
Your choice.
I mean, I kind of been around it a while now, so like every 10 years or 20 years or something. So like the chunky heel for the women and the bangles are a big thing right now, and a leopard skin or leopard print, which was big when we were in high school. I'm not mad at the baggy look. I just think that you have to pick and choose how you're going to pull it off. So everything can't be baggy. Something has to be fitted. So if your pants is baggy, your blazer or top should be kind of fitted. You know what I mean? Or your coat, vice versa. But I'm not mad at any of the trends. I just think that you have to have style and make it your own.
Worst fashion era?
That period between, I'll say 2000 and maybe like 2005, it was real shaky around that time. Like, it wasn't
about the huge ass shorts and the 17X t-shirts.
Yeah, like that era, it wasn't the 90s and it wasn't now. And it was like my early 20s where it was just weird. Like the girls were kind of dressing like it was kind of like everything was like a basketball jersey, and your pants were super big. And then the girls was like wearing jersey dresses with heels, which is kind of back now. And it was just like everything was like kind of sharp and pointy, like the pumps was real pointy. And then the men's stuff was just like super baggy, or even like the suits was kind of baggy. It was just like that era, that 2000 to like 2005 was a little kind of funky.
Like the Soulja Boy era.
Yeah, it was there. I didn't like that stuff.
Yeah, that shit was...
Yeah, I kind of kept it streamlined and just stayed away from whatever was trendy, even though it was young. So if I did a white tee, I just did my size.
Although, I'm not sure what's worse, the extra tight shit or the ridiculously big shit. Like, it's kind of a tie for me.
It's about the same for me, too. It has to be a happy medium. Like, I feel like for our age group, I shouldn't be walking around like I'm 20. And then I shouldn't also be super baggy either. You know what I mean? So, like some stuff that's in your closet that you like, oh, this is back, but it just don't hit right, you got to throw it away.
Yeah, it's like, and that's a struggle when you get older, because it's like, look, it's this. I've been wearing this my whole life.
Yeah, yeah, but you have to have somebody to come in and tell you.
I got daughters, man, and they have no filter.
Yeah.
And they will fucking tell me. Like, I called myself going to do the Beijing on my shit one time. Oh, nigga, they had me damn near about to cry.
Yeah, they it just looked better on us than it did but previous. Like, we don't look 40 like the people before us look 40.
The people I don't know. I don't know. I think my mom's in them generation, like, got older more gracefully.
Hell nah.
Are you kidding me?
Man, the people that are now 66 to 76 look old in the motherfucker at 50.
No, nigga, these 25-year-olds look 40.
We ain't with them. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about us, I'll say 37 on up. We wasn't doing them. They do pills. They snort powder. They smoke weed. They don't drink no water. You know, we great. We... Like, if I do dye my hair black, I can go for 32 easily with a beard. But them, the ones that's 30, they look horrible.
Oh, my God, man. Like, I almost feel bad for these niggas. Like,
yeah, they don't take care of themselves.
And you know, I will say, like, crack really, 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 like, for my generation specifically, nigga, crack had a stranglehold, and that nigga's looking bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, a lot of my generation stopped doing crack probably 20 years ago.
Yeah. I don't know. Our generation was... So I was born in 80, so our generation wasn't crack babies. The crack babies are now like 35 to like 30. A lot of my
friends, I'm not sure what happened.
A lot of my friends, somebody called my phone.
Oh, okay.
A lot of my, can you hear me?
Yeah.
A lot of my friends, parents, or a lot of my mother's friends were crackhead. So her generation was the, basically like, the LaChic to Run DMC in them. So, you know, she was like Salt and Pepper coming up to my school, literally. Like, high level, all right, all the bangles on her wrist, all the rings. You know, that was like her thing. I'm talking 85, 86, 87. A lot of her friends, a lot of my friends' parents wind up getting strung out on dope.
Yeah.
And then a lot of them stopped, you know, like by the time we got grown. But
yeah,
a lot of them were strung out real bad.
Yeah, that shit was, it was a good maybe 10, 15 years where that shit was.
I'd say from like 85 to about 2005.
No, 85 to like 87, 88. Was like the golden era. What niggas did, like, you didn't see crackheads like when it got really bad. You know, it was, everybody was eating. Crack was kind of like weed to a sense. But after 88, 89, and you start seeing motherfuckers like leaving their kids at home, and
it became a zombie, kind
of
like zombie.
Yeah, and then you start actually seeing the effects of this shit.
Yeah,
that shit was horrible. Give me your top two artists that had the biggest impression on fashion.
For me?
Yeah.
That made me want to be a stylist.
Not necessarily made you want to be a stylist, but just had the biggest imprint on the change in the fashion narrative.
I mean, that's a broad question because it'll have to be what year? What years are you talking?
For you. Any two or three.
It was Biggie and Lil' Kim, because before them, it was streetwear, but it wasn't high-end streetwear. So the people that I knew was getting money was wearing Versace and Gucci, but it wasn't spoke about. It was just kind of like, you know, this sweater costs $500. And by me being a little fashion dude, I knew, but to hear rap and the lifestyle that Biggie and Puffy and them and Kim and them regurgitated back to us made us in high school, because by then, 94, 95, I was a freshman and a sophomore. It made even my style change.
Yeah.
From just wearing regular, was when I started high school, it was a preppy era. So it was like khakis, you know, polo, Dockers, Tommy Hilfiger. It was that kind of streetwear when Kim and Biggie showed up. Huh?
It was Kanye shit.
Yeah, before Kanye. So when Kim and Biggie showed up, it turned into more of some TJ Swan, like wear your gators to school with your Gucci and your Gucci loafers and your, you know what I mean? It became more of that.
Actually, you know who does not get enough credit for that? Grand Poobah.
Well, Grand Poobah is my favorite. I dressed like Grand Poobah as a kid.
Like that nigga, as far as the polo, Tommy Hilfiger,
of course.
Oh my God, that nigga changed the nation.
Yeah, Grand Poobah was at 13, 14, 12, 13, 14. Grand Poobah was my one. It went, for me, style, I didn't really see a rapper that was fresh. Three Times Dope, I thought they was fresh.
I feel you.
And then they were a little bit before Poobah. And then I thought, I didn't think nobody else was fresh. Then when Poobah came, I was like, oh, he done fresh. He giving me what, you know. And then
Slick Rick might have been the first. That was
But Slick Rick was more like yo time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was more like the valleys, the coat off the shoulders, the dookie, you know what I mean? The glasses, that kind of whole thing. That was more Slick. I say Poobah, Grand Poobah, Biggie and Lil' Kim for sure. Even Mary J. Blige. Because Mary was giving me more like the girl I seen down the street that was popping. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's what Kim was for us too. Like the girl that all the guys wanted and the girls wanted to be like, the hot girlfriend, dope dealer girlfriend. That's what she was to me.
Yo, Biggie changed the whole club scene.
Oh, he did. He did.
And being from Detroit, I struggle with this one. Like, did he get it from Detroit?
Yeah.
Because I see, you know, it was niggas already doing that, like you said.
Yeah. Well, where it comes from is like I tell, so Misa, Puff's baby mama, is like my mentor. Mm-hmm. And she's like my friend. And we've talked before. And she could not agree. So what happens when, even now, what you see with the artists and the sports, with everybody with Cartiers on, what happens with Detroiters is, by us not having an outlet and having to leave from here and go to other cities, they see how we rock.
Yeah. I mean,
when y'all say we going out, and y'all get dressed up and y'all putting on y'all shit to go to the tunnel or whatever was popping, the club SOs and all of that shit in New York, we getting dressed and we gonna get on a train with you too, but this is the shit we got on. We got on our Versace silk with our Gator shoes, and you know what I mean? This is how we giving it up. Y'all see it and y'all see how the girls gravitate to it, because it's on some player type of shit, and it's almost pimp shit, but it ain't corny pimp.
Yeah.
So that happened with the infestation of the people that was your age, because it was a group of people your age that left and went to New York, and it was a group that left and went to Atlanta.
Facts.
So you see a lot of, like, Piper Carter and all of them, they went to New York. Everybody that, Joya, Owens, Piper Carter, all of them went to New York that wanted to be in the music industry. All the dope niggas like BMF went down to Atlanta. Oh, they got all these bitches at Clark Atlanta. Oh, can I cuss? I'm sorry.
Yeah, bro.
Okay. They got all these cute country, you know, all these bitches going down there, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, it was that. So, you know, you got that kind of thing. And once we go somewhere, you know, Detroit is gone. We got a certain bop, a certain walk, a certain attitude. And we be broke than a motherfucker. You know what I mean? But we gonna be fly. You know what I mean? We ain't got shit going on. We moved because we was broke. You know, mama put you out. Your dad, you got to go live with your cousin out in Atlanta. So you like, well, I'm packing my shit. Oh, y'all said y'all going out tonight? Okay, I'm about to kill these niggas at the club. They can't fuck with me. You know what I mean?
That's just, it is a whole different swag, man.
Like, I mean, you know, we got a whole thing about us getting dressed. It's to turn the music on. It's the, you see people doing that shit now, but we've been everybody getting dressed and putting their music on, ironing their clothes with starch and, it's a whole thing with us. You know, go get your hair done. You at the salon and the hair barbershop all day. You go by to the mall, buy your fly-ass outfit. It's a whole feeling here in Detroit.
Man, going out is like a week-long process.
Oh, hell yeah. Especially if you know you going out, you know, by Monday, you going out Friday, and it's this big-ass event. So that means you got to, you know, I got to work. I got to do this. I got to get my hair cut on Thursday. I got to, you know what I mean? Or I got to do everything on Friday. I can't get done until 9 o'clock. You know what I mean? It's just a whole thing.
Okay, for your outfit, more important, the shirt first or the shoes first?
It depends on what I buy first.
Really?
Yeah, like if I buy a shirt, then I have to see whatever. But the majority of the time, I'm a shoes guy. I probably got one.
Yeah, I was about to say, I got to get the shoes first because in my experience, it's way more difficult to buy shoes for a shirt than vice versa.
Yeah, not for me because when you buy so much stuff, you got something that go with it. Shit.
And you know,
all fails, why Air Force One? You know what I mean?
That motherfucker's so uncomfortable.
Well, you only wearing them for one night?
I don't care, man. Them motherfuckers, like Air Force Ones and Chucks are got to be the two most uncomfortable gym shoes I've ever worn.
But you got to think, for me, if I'm wearing them, I'm thinking I'm not going to have them on all night. Maybe I'm not going to get dressed till 8, 9, or 10 o'clock. They coming straight out the box. I'm putting them on. I'm in the car. I'm standing up for an hour or two. I'm going back. I'm taking them off. That's it. You know what I mean?
No, at this,
I know I could do uncomfortable for a minute.
At this stage in my game, no, bro. Uncomfortable for 5 minutes is too much uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I could get some white tins and pretty much rock that with fucking anything.
You said some who?
Some white tins.
Oh, white tins. Okay.
Yeah. You know, like I got some. Matter of fact, when I went to 3-1. I forgot what Fame, how you pronounce Fame.
313.
313.
Yeah.
I got some.
Shout out to Fame.
Yeah, shout out to Fame. I got some off-white forms there. And I got the royal blue and white forms from there, too, if I remember. So, you know, I keep a couple, you know, I got to keep a couple pair just in the tuck.
Just in case.
Just in case. Man, yo, man, being from Detroit, man, is just different, bro.
It's amazing. At my age now, I don't have to go nowhere else. I'm not excited about being nowhere else. Because I went to so many places before I probably was old enough to go supposed to. So, excuse me. So now, I don't have to be in New York like I used to at one time. I went to LA 2 years ago. I didn't like it. You know, I'm not a down south kind of guy, so I don't think Mississippi would work for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Alabama would work for me. Chicago is cool. It's just like Detroit. I'm just okay with being here. You know what I mean? Like, I'm okay with if I have to leave to go do work and come back home, I'll do that.
Yeah.
But for us, me moving from here, I already see that now. I would literally have to be working with, like, Rihanna or somebody, and they like, well, you got to move to New York because we here. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
I would move. Rihanna called me.
I mean, of course. But I'm just saying, like, in my mind, just a regular, you know, 9 to 5, I ain't trying to move to do that.
I feel you on that.
It would have to literally be, like, that kind of, you know, Jay-Z, Rihanna.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Rihanna calls you up and tells you just that. Do you try to change her style, or do you basically give her more of what she's been rocking?
I mean, you give her what she's rocking, but then you just bring yourself along with it because you know that the first off, celebrities like them don't pay for anything, which is what's so crazy about it. When you have money,
everything you don't pay for anything.
So, and then if you do pay for anything, you're paying for something. Well, you're really not paying for anything, because if I am working for Rihanna, I can call Dolce & Gabbana, Milan office, and say, Rihanna want custom suit for this day. And they'll say, okay, we're on it. So you just give the person who they are and put your style in it. I think I would, she's kind of into her baggy era because she's with ASAP Rocky. Mm-hmm. And right now they both feel like they the flyest, which is, I get it, the baggy shit is in. But I just would do what she's doing. She don't want to be naked no more. So I guess I missed that part. I would have loved to work with her then. But, you know, people have kids and they grow up a little bit. So
why are we not, are our celebrities and superstars not actively promoting Black-owned brands?
Because we don't promote it ourselves. I said it yesterday. I did a haul on my page, and I think it's getting a little better. Like when it comes to like the Brian Blackwoods, the Glamaholic, the bag and accessory designers are getting more tuned because it's easier to, you know, connect, buy it, and wear it with different stuff. So it's a lot of more Black designers. You know, we have Rocket Remix, Char Glover in LA. She's from here. Her stuff has been worn by everybody from Marlowe to Tyra Banks. So it's just about who you know and really how you get it out there more. If you are somebody that is like a Rihanna is, your stylist has to have that eye to pull that look for you from the person.
Yo, and I'm trying to make sure I get this name right and shit. Yo, and shout out to my dude, William Palmer Home.
William Palmer Home. What up, bro?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm... I always fuck the last name up, man. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
So it's like Home, like saying home, but Home.
Yeah.
William Palmer Home.
Yeah, yo, like, dude's got some really dope shit.
Oh, yeah, you got fly shit.
You know, And he's the first brother I've personally known or met that made purses.
Yeah, he got some good dope purses too.
You know, why aren't we in that space more?
I think it's more in the space now than it was 5-10 years ago.
Is that something you want to do?
I mean, I've done pretty much everything, but I'm not, I'm a designer, but I'm not a designer. I don't know how to say, it's like I am, but I'm more so of a facilitator, which is what a creative director does.
Mm-hmm.
I have my own brand called Genius Denim. So that's where I touch men and women denim and, excuse me, men and women denim. And I get to do it my way that I need to do it, but I don't know if I want to do a bag or a shoe. I like to collaborate with those brands and do like Marv Neal times the brand.
Mm-hmm.
But for us like coming out with my own, I don't think that's where I sit. I think I sit more on creating a vision that everybody likes.
So the denim, your denim stuff, man, where can we get that?
So it's like custom, but it's on my Instagram page. It's Genius Denim, J-E-A-N-O-U-S Denim at, you know, It's on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook.
Okay.
It's basically like custom denim stuff, a wash job on it, distressing. I have a distressing machine at home. Dye jobs, you know, anything that's fly with denim. That's what Jeans Denim is.
And if somebody want to hire you for a stylist, creative director, same IG or different?
Mm-mm, just at Marv Neal. And they could click my link in my bio. That's my website at www.marvneal.com. And or they could email me through my bio, and it'll come straight to my phone.
All right, dope, man. Yeah. Yo, this has been a beautiful conversation, bro.
Thanks for having me.
I didn't learn some shit, you know.
Hopefully you did.
You know, not too difficult to teach me something, bro.
Oh, yeah, same here. That's how it is with our generation. We can learn.
Oh, my goodness, man. I've learned so much shit. That's a whole nother story. Anyway, man, I cannot possibly thank you enough, bro, for coming through.
Thank you for having me.
Yo, and if there's anything I possibly do for you, hey, don't hesitate to let me know, and I got you.
You got me back on whenever you need me, bro.
All right, no doubt, man. Appreciate you, bro. Have a good one.
You too.
Peace.
Bye.
Yo, y'all already know, man. This is Jobs. It's been another episode of Intellectually Petty Radio. Yo, fucks with your man, Marv Neal, man, for everything fashion-oriented. Truly an honor to talk to one of the greats. I'm telling you, man, there's so many people that hit me up. Yo, my daughter's cousin had him as a stylist. She's a model. And I looked up, and she's like, stylist, Marv Neal. Phenomenal, man. And just one thing, man. I don't take this lightly. I don't take that, you know, that the ability to share a piece of people's world, but for nothing more than an hour, I absolutely appreciate the time, the energy, and the wisdom that I have been able to glean from others that are way greater than myself for years. And it just, you know, I was thinking about that today, and it has just been, and by no means is it over, but this has been one hell of a fucking ride, man. And it was interesting how I got the opportunity to interview a congresswoman and an adult entertainer in the same day. And that, to me, just encapsulated what Intellectually Petty Radio is about. You know, what you do gets you on the show, but it's your story that makes you stand out. And when I say that, I just don't say that. I actually mean it, because I just love talking to people of all walks of life, all shapes, fashions, sizes. It just interests me to have dope-ass conversations with even doper people. If you have any business inquiries, reach out to my manager, Rita, and let me make sure, because I just say Rita, but let me make sure that we get it right for the gram. Oh, now, hold on. And that is Karita Montez Miller on Instagram. Get in contact with her for all business inquiries. On that note, I'll see y'all at 7 o'clock. I'm out.